Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
More details coming out. An affidavit into Ipe Mizuhara Perloff, Shohei Ohtani's translator, who bilked him out of, now we're hearing, $16 million. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So we get more details yesterday because Ipe is going to be arrested. This is the complaint filed on Thursday. These are the federal investigators who did all this forensic evidence on Ipe Mizuhara, his relationship with the bookmaker, and now all the trouble that Ipe is going to be in, anywhere from like 30 years in prison to millions of dollars in fines, obviously. And the IRS really lays out the case here of just how nefarious the translator was and how exactly he got into Shohei's bank accounts.
Before we dive into some of these details, which are all incredible.
Yeah, they're amazing.
Do you think that this is the beginning of closure of this story? Are there still so many open threads that we're going to live with this story for a while?
Great question. I think that this did a lot to close threads because it answered questions for people like me who had been extremely skeptical about certain aspects of this. I was never someone who thought Shohei was the one placing the bets and that Ipe was fully taking the fall. Mm-hmm. I just found it really hard to believe that Shohei had no knowledge of this. So here's what we're talking about in terms of the frequency of Shohei Ohtani's translator and his betting history. This is somebody who, according to this affidavit and the IRS, placed 19,000 wagers between December 2021 and January 2024. That averages out to 25 bets a day. The bets range from anywhere between $10 and $160,000. So it's an average of $12,800 per bet. More numbers for you. During this time of late 2021 to January of 2024, Ipe Mizuhara lost a total of $182,935,206. Now, he won $142,556,769. It nets out to $40.6 million in losses. Just the numbers on this, though, Perloff, are so staggering, they are jaw-dropping.
They are, but part of me wonders if this world exists where people are dropping this kind of money. I feel like reading the transcript, that bookie was going to take as much action as this person could squeeze money.
Yep.
So I don't know much about gambling addiction, but it feels like you'll bet until the money's gone.
Well, of course. And I mean, and Ipe, because of his nefarious activities, which the IRS and a forensic investigator went through and really lays it out. By the way, this is really also a cautionary tale. I know addiction comes with a lot of different things, but if you steal from someone's bank account, they are going to find you. I mean, you will not get away with it. This, the level and detail that they went into to tie Ipe to everything and to absolve Shohei from everything is wild.
Oh, the access they had to all of this information is kind of Big Brotherish. Like it's almost like they were there for the whole thing, well, which is amazing to me.
Yeah, you have to turn over your phone, and Shohei also turned over his phone.
Tom Brady destroyed. Yeah, I know. Shohei, to me, that's why I feel like Shohei's innocent, because they had so much access to his information and his phone. The fact that he turned over his phone, to me, says, oh, he really didn't do this. But couldn't those guys have destroyed their phones? I don't know. I feel like if I'm considering crime in the future, the one thing I don't want to do is let anyone have my phone.
Your phone. Yeah. Well, I think eBay is now trying to be as helpful as possible to avoid, you know, 30 years in jail or something. So he's up against it. But
yeah, it's a good point.
So there's a lot of parts of this. Again, the just pure numbers of it, I thought, were rather staggering. Basically, they're saying that he stole about $16 million from Shohei Ohtani. And this started around 2000 in 21. In 2018, when Mizuhara started translating for Ohtani, the two of them opened up a bank account for Shohei. And Mizuhara was translating for Shohei. That bank account was the one where all of his Los Angeles Angels checks would go. So those are not the endorsements. That's not the other stuff. This is purely the baseball salary would go into this account. And that's the one that Ipe had access to. And what Ipe would say to Shohei's agent and his financial advisor and all the people who are putting his tax returns together and all that would say, Shohei doesn't want you to have access to this account. And the tax guys are like, well, we have to know, did any interest accrue on it? Is he giving gifts that we need to know from this? He could get himself in tax trouble. And Ipe was lying to them and saying, Shohei does not want you to have access to this account. And these people said, okay. I guess they sort of trusted that they really weren't accruing any interest on this. I don't know how. But so that's how Ipe had this sort of unlimited fund, if you will. He was literally taking it from the paychecks that Shohei was getting from the Angels.
Right, and also he was calling the bank as Shohei, right?
So he called the bank, yes, the $500,000 wire transfers. Mm-hmm. Again, we're talking about a new affidavit charging Ipe Mizuhara, Shohei Ohtani's agent, with fraud and theft. All of the details came out yesterday in a 37-page report that was put together by the IRS. So I had a big question about the $500,000 wire transfers. How could you not talk to Shohei when his name's on these wire transfers? They said that Ipe, on a phone that was, you know, registered to Ipe, was calling the bank pretending to be Shohei Ohtani. And obviously, there's a big distinction here. The person on the phone, because they have the phone records, spoke fluent English. And Shohei clearly does not speak fluent English. So not only was it coming from Ipe's phone, they have the not just the transcript, they have the actual phone call. You know, when you call a bank, hey, this is, you're on a recorded line. They literally kept that, and it's somebody who's speaking fluent English from Ipe's phone. Clearly, that's not Shohei.
Yeah. So they know it was him. I understand, too, if you're a random employee at the bank, I guess you wouldn't know.
There were protections involved. So there's text messages between Ipe and the bookmaker, and a lot of them are kind of, you see like how degenerative of a gambling addict Ipe is through these texts. But also, it shows how difficult it was to first set up the wire transfers. They kept getting canceled. They kept getting flagged. And they really had to be pretty, Ipe had to be pretty nefarious to get around it.
You know, it's funny, too. What comes out of this? Did MLB avoid a wild pitch here? Is this done? I mean, is this the beginning of done? Obviously, the trial is going to keep on going and the investigation is going to keep on going. But I feel like, honestly, they should have put this out 3 weeks ago and everyone wouldn't have been doubting so much about Shohei. I feel like the way we began the segment, it's the beginning and the end of this story.
I think maybe for Shohei that probably, I mean, if you believe this IRS forensic, you know,
examination
of it, it does very much exonerate Shohei Ohtani. He is the victim in this. And, you know, I don't want to keep some conspiracy theory alive just because it might be interesting to me. I mean, I think that, you know, the guy really seemed like he was a victim of a massive fraud. And even though he's a rich and famous person, doesn't mean you can't feel sympathy for him that someone that close turned on him in such a crazy way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel sympathy for anyone who has $700 million coming their way. He's going to be more fine than all of us combined. And he's also the best baseball player in the world. The funny thing, too, he didn't seem, okay, this is Monday morning quarterback. He didn't seem so bothered through this whole thing. Like, I think he was acting like he was innocent. Like, he was a victim of fraud. It didn't strike me, and I know nothing, that he was somebody who was secretly doing all this and was going to go down himself. Because to maintain that level of cool, if he was actually guilty, would have been very difficult.
Well, people in the room said that Shohei was like visibly upset at the end of his press conference because of the betrayal. Like he got emotional about it and stuff like that. Listen, it would have been hard to hide because look, Ipe couldn't keep it up. You know, he eventually did get busted here. And
well, I mean, he got busted because they busted the bookie.
Right.
And that bookie, I mean, I hate tax evaders because I pay so much of my salary to taxes.
Same.
I mean, this guy's got to go to jail for a long time.
He's
you see the bookie feels like a drug dealer.
Yes.
I think a lot of us think of bookies as innocent in a way because, I don't know, I had a bookie at certain points in my life, and he didn't strike me as some nefarious underground figure. This guy clearly is a criminal in every with a capital C because he was threatening Ipe, and he obviously knew he had a guy who couldn't control his betting on the line. You know, to me, another one thing about this, it's an argument for legalized gambling because there's more control. Gambling is addictive, so that's an argument against legalized gambling, but having it be above board could help people as well. None of this would have happened if he was going through DraftKings.
Right, you can only bet what's in your bank account.
Yep.
You can't go above your means on DraftKings like you could with a bookie who will they call them bumps, and they kept bumping Ipe, and he kept begging for them to bump up. Meanwhile, Ipe is also texting the bookmaker about how terrible of a better he is. He's like, I just discovered soccer. Oh, my gosh. And now I just lost another $250,000 on a match. So you mentioned about the guy threatening Ipe. Again, we're talking about Ipe Mizuhara, Shohei Ohtani's interpreter. He's pleading guilty to fraud and to theft. It looks like it's about $16 million that he stole from Shohei Ohtani, and it lays out in a 37-page affidavit that became public yesterday. So one of the moments, something they write about in the affidavit, November 17, 2023, 2 p.m. on a Friday, the bookmaker goes to Newport Beach, California, where Shohei Ohtani lives. And Ipe apparently this is when the spiral's really starting and it's really out of control. And Ipe, like the walls are closing in a bit on Ipe, right? And he's way above his means and he's in the hole by millions and millions of dollars to the bookmaker. And all of a sudden he stops returning the bookmaker's phone calls. And the bookmaker goes to Newport Beach and says and texts him and says, I'm here. I'm watching your guy, Shohei, walk his dog. And I'm about to go up to him and tell him everything if you don't call me back immediately. Now, that's a threat. And I know this guy would be stupid to go up and like club Ohtani in the leg, Nancy Kerrigan, Tonya Harding style. But think of the liability, the vulnerability that Ipe put Shohei in with this scheme. Someone could have hurt Shohei Ohtani by no fault of his own, because Ipe got in so big. I mean, bookmakers, when you can't pay the bill, what do you think happens? They don't go to the cops. They find other ways to send a message, you know, and he could have put Shohei, he already did, he put Shohei in this horrible position.
I mean, then play that out across America and
forget Shohei,
how many families are probably torn apart by the same dynamic. I mean, it could be, Shohei's going to be fine. That's important. I have no sympathy for Shohei because he's going to be financially solvent his entire life.
Sure.
I mean, think of what could have happened.
Not if Ipe hadn't gotten caught. He might have drained the whole bank account.
I mean, there's so much money coming to this dude. But
that's
the other thing, too, is like that's part of the reason they got away with all this, because it was still only a fraction of Shohei's total value. I do believe that Shohei didn't notice it. I mean, I think a lot of current athletes don't track their finances, and that's how Ipe got away with all this.
Yep.
I mean, Shohei clearly didn't look at any paperwork.
So that was another part of it. You're saying, how could Shohei not understand his own finances? So they do lay that out as well, which is Shohei, first of all, Ipe had changed the email addresses and the phone number associated with the account of where his baseball checks were going. And so apparently Shohei was rather interested in his investments and where his stuff was going. He was just asking Ipe to translate with his financial people, give me a general sense of how my portfolio is doing. He wasn't asking about specific accounts. He was saying, give me an overall view. I mean, that you can kind of understand that, right? Give me an overall view of sort of how I'm doing here. And then Ipe was telling the financial people, Shohei doesn't want you to have access to this one bank account, and kept saying it over and over again. And these people questioned it, but ultimately didn't push back. And none of them spoke Japanese, and they never thought to get a different interpreter because everybody trusted Ipe.
Wild.
Pretty crazy stuff.
I have a question for you guys about this. Now that I agree with Perla for sure that it seems like a bow is close to being wrapped up on Ohtani's implication in any way to this. But seeing Ipe move the way he's moved. And we know how the lengths that professional teams and franchises go to know about not just you as the athlete, but the people that are around you. And we're in draft season where every year we have this guy hanging around people we're not sure about, we're not
like
crazy
John
about.
Morant,
yeah, do you feel like in any way the Angels or the Dodgers let Shohei down a little bit by not doing any kind of background check on Ipe? Because it feels like while he was clearly a world-class liar, just a little bit of work on him, I feel like you may have revealed some of these issues with him.
Yeah, apparently Ipe was terrible at this. I mean, first of all, he's a terrible sports bettor, right, but also he was into crypto. Like, he just made all the bad, risky bets that you could possibly make. This guy seemed to have made them.
Yeah, I think that's a little money more in quarterback, what you're saying about the teams, because, you know, if you guys have any addicts in your life, like, they're master manipulators, liars. Like, it looks, looking back on it, it's always like, oh, how did we not see that coming? Because, you know, they are doing everything in their power to keep it going. So I don't think anyone, I don't think it's fair to say they should have caught him before.
I think that the Dodgers failed Shohei in when they get media, when they get the notifications from the LA Times and ESPN, like, hey, this is going down. Like, there's something that implicates you, to then still keep relying on Ipe when Ipe was part of the story. You got to go right to Shohei at that point. So I thought they failed him there. Because the fact that Shohei did find out about this from a team meeting where Ipe is coming clean to everybody, and that's the first time they heard it, when the Dodgers and his agents had heard about this weeks before, that to me, you fail your client and you fail your player that way.
That feels also, that doesn't feel true. He must have had some inkling before that meeting.
He says no.
Well, he makes him sound like a moron then.
And he says no. And if you're going to believe one thing in here in this report, he had some knowledge,
something was going on. I think the depth of the knowledge. So that was
they're saying the first time that Shohei got wind of any of this was when Ipe addressed the Dodgers and the team in Seoul, South Korea, unburdening himself, saying that he had a gambling addiction.
It's funny. I read that story as like Shohei knew something was going on.
They say no. They say no. And then Ipe and Shohei talked it out in the hotel later, where he said, not only am I in with this gambling, this bookie, but also I've been stealing money from you. And that didn't happen until South Korea, which was like March 25th or whatever, March 20th. The other thing, too, remember David Sampson, the former president of the Marlins, came on with us, and he said in his entire, however many years he was running the Marlins, the only person who joined the organization that he did not do a background check on was Ichiro's translator.
Wow.
He said there was like a, first of all, it was Ichiro's guy, and also there was like a cultural thing there where it's like, you're not going to question my guy. I guess that's what Samson told us.
No, it's a great detail, because that's the only thing I hang up on, because we always talk about, you know, obviously a lot darker, Banana Hernandez or whatever. And we think about like any athlete when there's a major issue, especially with people around them, you say, well, why didn't
knew about it?
Yeah,
right.
We didn't do any research on this guy. And I think Perloff makes a great point about the levels that compulsive gamblers or any addict will go to shield, you know, lies from people. But when I tell you these teams have personal or private investigators, I mean, they have the top of the top when it comes to being able to know background on their people. So that's the only thing I'm not held up on, but I just asked that question. Like, man, I wanted the Dodgers or the Angels feel like, man, we failed them a little bit. We didn't protect our own asset in a way.
Daly's in the chat. You can watch us on YouTube. He said, anyone know what bank this was? It's the Bank of Moronville. They just call it Bank A. They don't tell us what bank it is. I'm assuming it's one of the big ones.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, I'm not doing $500,000 wire transfers or $500 wire transfers for that matter, but
he's not your local credit union, just to say that.
Does it matter if it's like, oh my gosh, that's my bank?
and trust me, I mean, we can get into whatever, but I'm sure that there's, you know, banking influences in even government that makes them not want to put out who the bank is to.
No, definitely not. Okay, we have a sound for you from the agent. We'll get to that in just a little bit. 855-212-4CBS. As we are unpacking what happened with Shohei Ohtani's translator, coming up, Tom Brady talking about his future and a possible return to football. What? Get to that next. It's Maggie and Perloff.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. All right, Maggie, I was struck by a headline yesterday the certain quarterback may want to return. Now, it made me immediately think of you.
Yep.
Because you have been adamant for years that Tom Brady was not going to retire. Then I feel like you gave up.
I did.
And now he's back.
I should have never given up. Ugh,
he's back. But he's not really back. He's not coming back.
Okay, you can decide for
story.
Yourself.
So, tell the story.
So Tom Brady on a podcast called Deep Cuts was asked if he would be opposed. See, the way the question is worded is kind of weird, but it was whether he would be opposed to joining a team that was a good team that had a good offense if an injury happened to a quarterback. But the way they asked the question is, would you make a call to a team? I'm not sure that's how this would work. I think a team would call him, but nonetheless, Tom Brady says he would not be opposed to a late season return.
One day there's a situation, right? Maybe it's the 49ers, maybe, you know, heading to the playoffs. Offense is great.
Patriots,
somebody,
Raiders, look, could be, you never know.
God forbid somebody goes down. Would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in the NFL team, but I don't know if, I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
First of all, why are you bringing up the MJ coming back? I don't think he's talking about the second run with the Bulls there. I think he's talking about the Wizards, which MJ has gone out of his way to make sure that gets scrubbed from every history book of all time. You mentioned, notice it didn't get mentioned in The Last Dance. But Brady, I what are you doing here? I thought that he was about to start this big broadcasting career. Now he's saying he might leave the Fox booth if the Patriots need him in week 15.
Well, yeah, nobody cares about it. I mean, first of all, he took that Fox job and didn't even go into the booth. So there's clearly not a number one priority to him. I think what happened here is you get on these podcasts and you start saying a lot of things. I don't think this is real. And maybe I'm being naive. You know, I think he was just sort of talking and feeling good. There's no way. He's turning 40. Okay.
He's got the itch. He's got the itis.
How much can I bet that he is not back on a football field?
Well, the circumstances may not break his way. He's clearly got the itis here. I want to play again itis.
So he'll turn 47 in August. You're telling me he's going to come, unless he goes into a training camp, there's no way he's coming in the middle of the season. Because Tom Brady is as vain as any athlete there is. He's not going to want to go out there, learn an offense in week 14,
and then get destroyed.
What offense is he going
to know? What does Tom Brady have to learn? He's seen it all, done it all. He can walk onto the field. He just said, I keep myself in good shape.
Yeah.
I think he actually could do this. He could have a couple weeks. I mean, we saw Baker Mayfield basically learned the Rams playbook on a cross-country flight and was able to beat the Raiders. Like
Baker then went on 1-6.
Well,
but Baker ain't Tom Brady.
That's true.
Yeah, Baker's 20 years younger than Tom Brady.
How about this bet? If Tom Brady, because this is my takeaway from this yesterday, why he's trolling Greg Olsen, I don't understand. Like, let Greg Olsen shift to the B booth and stay there. But if Tom Brady comes back, leaves the Fox booth, will you drive to Greg Olson's house and apologize to Greg Olson for Tom Brady's behavior?
Where's Greg live?
That I couldn't tell you,
probably,
but you'll
Charlotte?
Get there easily, I'm sure.
He lives in New Jersey. That could be a short ride. He lives in Wayne Hills.
Will you
Wayne
walk
Valley,
to Greg Olson's house in New Jersey and apologize to him?
Yeah, out through the Lincoln Tunnel, through
the George Washington Bridge.
Yeah. So he lives in Charlotte. And that is on my way to San Antonio.
What did you just Google?
Well, I knew he lived in Charlotte, actually, because I've heard.
123 Melody Lane.
Yeah, yeah.
1 Yemen Road in Yemen.
He's like, I think he's a fixture in Charlotte, no? Yeah.
A fixer?
Fixture. Oh. Like, I think he's a big community guy. So you come down.
You need anything in Charlotte, you just call Greg.
But then you're doing this because you don't want me to go through the Midwest. Because if I come down through Charlotte, Atlanta.
You can't go to Chicago.
I can't go to Chicago. You guys want me to do some, you want the straightest line so I go over the mountains, which is not going to work either.
Yeah, but want you in the Ozarks.
I just don't, I just think Tom Brady is talking here. And maybe I'm naive, but there's no way he's coming back mid-season. Mid-season, that's a terrible way to get back into the game. I know Baker Mayfield won one game, but he was active at the time. Tom Brady's been out of the game. This will be, what year is it now? It's his second year out of the game. It's not happening.
Yeah, but he said, I keep myself in good shape. By the way, so we can talk about Brady. I think this is real. I think he's got the itch. Like, he's been out of the game for too long. Usually the itch comes around training camp, but I think he's got the itch. We also have to talk about what's going on with the hair. His hairline is proceeding. It's not receding like most men when they get older. It's actually growing forward and he's getting more hair in the front.
Makes sense to me. He's Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that every athlete now? What is LeBron?
Well, LeBron gets clowned for this. I mean, we see like a clear line definition. Yeah. Also, LeBron's like 6'8", so not many people are taller than him. I know Brady's like 6'4". But something's going on with the hair where it's getting all curly now in the front.
It also bothered me that the No Bull logo was on the cape that he was wearing while he was getting his haircut.
So that's the thing that I think we're missing in this, is why I think Perloff is right. You guys got to understand, when the barber is asking you questions and you're in the chair and you've not gotten cut, you tell him whatever he wants to hear so that you get the best haircut.
Oh,
I think that there is a chance that Tom Brady, this guy, his barber is asking him, yo, man, you going to play? And I know I've been in that chair. Shout out to my barber, Rod. I'm telling Rod whatever he wants to hear.
Wait a minute, but you told Tom Brady said, you know, actually, I've got the rest of my life. This is, he thinks he'd get a worse haircut. There's no wrong answer here.
Oh yeah, yo, what you tell your barber when you're talking to him, how you engage them, how you indulge them, is absolutely part of the experience of getting the haircut. You cannot no sell your barber's conversation. You need to be engaged because they're doing you a service.
Okay, now that might
be
true.
You're paying them.
Yeah, and
that doesn't matter. It's like there are other people you pay, but you still show respect because you want them to do a good job.
But EJ, there were TV cameras around this.
Yeah, you're entertaining your barber.
But actually, I think EJ nailed it the other day. I see people sit with Shannon Sharp on this podcast. You got to up your game and say something. You can't just be like, I'm retired.
This is a double whammy.
You have to say something.
Have you ever heard of Vic Blends before? Well, never heard of this person.
I don't know. If you're Tom Brady, every podcast is someone way less famous than you. You got to amp it up on a podcast. Right? Would you guys say something crazy? I would.
But Brady has done nothing uncalculated in his life. He's on a podcast with video cameras. Again,
dude, he retired and unretired. What do you mean he's done nothing uncalculated? He literally retired and decided 4 weeks later that he's completely erratic.
And when he unretired, there was a movie filmed video of him walking on the beach telling us he was coming back. So he didn't accidentally let that slip yesterday. This is a cry for help.
No.
He's lonely.
You think he has
bored.
Control of the
His mouth?
He has no control over it. He can't get it. There's no calculating here at all. I think he's emotional, which is why he might return.
He didn't get jumped on the street by a TMZ camera. He's on a podcast he agreed to be on in his logo is on his chest while he's getting a haircut in front of a TV crew.
But you will admit,
and I'm going to play again.
He has not had straight logical thinking when it comes to retirement. You will agree to that.
You don't think all the questions here were were they probably pre-agreed on, but this is not live. They could have edited any of this stuff out. We know Tom is super calculating. But to EJ's point, can I tell a small personal story about this? Because I think it's weird that you would want to give your barber like the quote-unquote right answer to get a better haircut. However, going back through the catalog of my life, I did do this one time. And the stakes were just a tiny bit higher. I was getting a medical procedure done. It was not life-threatening, nothing like that. And the nurses were kind of talking to me before to kind of loosen you up a little bit. So like, what do you do? You know, talk a little bit about your work. I said, I work at Sports Illustrated. I said, the doctor's a huge football fan. So he comes over and he goes, so who do you think's going to win the Ohio State-Michigan game this weekend? And I go, who do you think is going to win the Ohio State-Michigan game? He goes, I'm a huge Michigan fan. I was like, they've got a great shot.
Well, my dentist, shout out to my dentist, she has a Michigan hat. On like when I get my operation, I get my dentist work done. She her hat, the Michigan hat is right there. So what's great is I work in sports, but like I knew immediately, Ohio State Michigan flag's been planted. I already know when I sit in this chair, especially with dental work.
Yeah, I know.
You think I'm gonna say something like, go Buckeyes in a dental chair?
That makes way more sense than your barber.
That's
his work out there. Why would he want to have you with a weird haircut? That's a bad calling card for him.
Because it's Tom Brady. Nobody's gonna, like, he can go away for 3 weeks and nobody see his hair, or he can wear a hat and nobody's gonna be like, have you ever seen a bad lineup? Like, barbers, if you tip them correctly, if you treat them correctly, they will give you a better haircut. That is factual. That's why Jalen Rose gives a $100 tip to his barbers and he got the freshest line in the game.
Do you guys do this? Bogus?
Well, I mean,
I'm sorry. You're exempt from this conversation. You're a hair loss survivor.
If you remember when you had hair, what'd you do?
I had a teeth extraction, so shout out to my oral surgeon. He started talking about wrestling and started talking about Hulk Hogan against Paul Orndorff in the steel cage. And I started talking about it, started laughing, went under.
And now we're married.
And that was it. I don't know what I said. I might have given him my bank account, but that was it.
Okay, so Tom Brady, we'll see. I think he was calculated. Perloff says he's erratic. Bogish, what else we got?
We've got round one of the Masters needs to finish this morning. 27 golfers back on the course in Augusta in roughly 10 minutes. That'll include Nikolaj Højgaard, who is 5-under through 15 holes, two shots off the lead of Bryson DeChambeau.
I knew it was going to be a tough day today with the wind, so a lot of patience is required around this golf course and making sure you're just stroking it on your line, putting it good, hitting good iron shots, and driving it well. I mean, in order to win major championships, you've got to, especially out here, you've got to do everything well.
A 7-under 65 for DeChambeau, a 66 for soon-to-be dad Scottie Scheffler. Tiger Woods among those 27 needed to finish his round this morning. He's 1-under through 13 holes.
They should make it fun for the fans and start all the golfers at the same time.
Well, I mean, a shotgun start. Yeah. That's what that's called in the golf world.
That thing, yes.
Yeah, I
should. Everyone tee off the same time.
Not cool, that would be.
27 images. Yeah, it's like March Madness.
Oh, like a kickoff, like right at that moment?
That's right.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I'm behind it.
Wait.
By the way, this couldn't be setting up worse for Tiger. Yeah. And I know we talked yesterday about whether or not he should, like, retire, and you and I disagree about that because he hasn't been able to finish a tournament since his car accident. So they couldn't finish the round yesterday. So now he's got to play five holes at in 5 minutes, basically. He's got to play five holes, and then he's got to play the other 18.
Right away.
I was listening to a report on ESPN where they're saying he gets so much work done on his body after and before each round, he's probably going to be on like 3 hours sleep.
Hmm.
So
good thing he's only playing golf.
Right. Imagine if you put a windmill out there.
I mean, you watched him yesterday. Did he didn't even look like he was limping around. He looked like, first of all, he's yoked. That's one thing you can't miss. But
it's always good on day one.
Yeah.
How do you respond on day two? Yep.
First of all, the reason he taps out, if he's not going to win, he just taps out. He can walk a golf course for 4 days if he's in contention. We all know that.
He literally has said he can't. Like, you're overruling
him.
If he's two shots behind, the chances of him tapping out are what? What would you give it from 0 to 100? Because I give it minus 50.
But the point is, getting two shots back by Sunday is the hard part. Like, the end, I get, like, that's an easy, quote-unquote, decision. It's getting there.
He can walk the course if he thinks he's going to win. He's just, it's not worth the pain.
But the problem now is that he's in such bad pain that he's never going to be two shots back and have a decision to make about, wow, I'm in pain.
Right.
Can I power through?
He's not really thinking.
But that time, he's already plus five and or missed a cut.
He's not going to play. I would strongly expect him to not play well in his second nine holes today.
But okay, he's clearly good enough at golf to win another major if he could keep it physically together. Like, he's not falling apart golf-wise.
Right, but I think that's not an easy thing to dismiss, the physical part of it. Like, that's the defining characteristic of him right now. And I think you're too easily brushing it aside. Like, that's all. He just will deal with the pain if he's playing well. He can't play well because he's not good enough physically.
Yep.
All that has to do is come together one time in the next 10 years. That's all we need.
So far this week, we've had Cam Newton hating Kirk Cousins, Raymond Felton hating on Rashad McCants for hating on Roy Williams, and now we have Jared Goff hating on Lions media.
They almost, like, relish in negativity at times.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what gets clicks and that's what sells, but it's no longer what they need to live in. Like,
right.
Hey guys, like we have a good team. We've had success. Like, we can be happy about that. We can celebrate that and not have to write about how, like, we're constantly the underdog. Like, no, like, teams are going to be gunning for us now. Like, we won the division.
That's his complaint. Too many underdog stories.
Well, here's the thing, and I get why the athlete thinks this way, and I think it's probably healthy, but you have to have an understanding of the franchise history you are playing, that comes with playing for a team.
Especially if you're a quarterback.
You don't have to acknowledge it all the time, or in the locker room, it can be different. Like, I remember Bart Scott saying when he joined the Jets, it was not productive for him to think about LOL Jets and to think about how, you know, sorry the history was. You've got to create your own culture and do something new. So I get that with Goff. But you have to also be aware when you're speaking publicly of how much heartbreak, sadness, and how much crap the Detroit Lions fan base has been through, and they can't just automatically forget all of that bad stuff just because you made it to the NFC Championship game. And by the way, blew a 3-score lead when you could have been going to the Super Bowl.
You know, it's funny, though. I feel like Jared Goff gets so much love in Detroit. Don't they? Jared Goff chants break out at all the other stadiums. Jared Goff. I've heard it.
Jared Goff.
That's crazy. Yeah. Like, he gets so much support in this town. I was really surprised by this. I thought they loved those Lions. But I'm not there. So who would call negatively about this team right now?
I don't get it. I thought he was setting up for too many Dan Campbell conversations, whether he's too aggressive or, like, maybe people still wondering if Goff is good enough to, like, take them actually to the Super Bowl. Not the there's too many underdog stories in Detroit. That's what's bothering him.
Well, this feels like number one pick syndrome a little bit. Like, well, I was the number one pick, and people, even, like, later in the clip says, like, this comes with a chip on my shoulder. I got doubted, and now I showed, hey, I'm a real number one pick guy. Like, I have a certain pedigree. Like, don't lump me in with those losers that have been losing for 50 years. I don't agree with him thinking that that's the issue with local media, but when I watched this, I felt like, this is a guy who's the number one pick being like, why am I being associated with this loser franchise?
Well, also, this is clearly the low-hanging fruit, easiest thing. Blame the media for everything, for every possible thing that you find wrong or that agitates you. You can just blame the media.
Well, I think, too, he came from the L.A. Rams, and most L.A. residents didn't even know there was a pro football team in town. So it's a different experience for him there.
Yeah, people care.
The Warriors rallied for a 192 win in Portland last night. That gets them to ninth in the West. The Knicks rolled through Boston 118-109 to get within a game of the Bucks for the 2 seed. And we've all heard of throwing in the towel. Last night in Sacramento, a Kings fan might have thrown in the chicken wing.
Pelicans hold on. Driving into Murray. Somebody's thrown something on the floor. 46 seconds to go and a whistle blew. It's a chicken wing. Why would someone throw something that good out on the floor? It's crispy. Yes. It's warm.
Yes.
And I almost had to go out. I'm so hungry.
I hear your stomach over here growling.
What's that guy? I hope he eats it.
Kevin Harlan, Reggie Miller, TNT. Nobody ate the chicken wing off the court, thankfully. All of that happening in the final seconds of the Kings' 135-123 home loss to the Pelicans. Sacramento stays eighth in the West, while New Orleans takes a one-game lead on the Suns for the sixth spot.
Gary Gerald definitely threw it.
You know, is that a what, protest?
Yes.
Because the team's been sliding?
That's right.
There's no one I want on a call like that more than Kevin Harlan.
100%.
He's the only one we can call in when weird things happen.
Does anyone here subscribe to a 5-second or 3-second rule with food on the ground?
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe not a basketball court.
Well, so that was the question I was going to have is basketball court, yeah, a little sweaty, a little gross.
It's all, yeah, a lot of.
Now, they do wipe it a lot. Anytime a guy falls, there's people wiping the floor down.
You think the guy should have picked it up and, like, you know how people will be on the Jumbotron, like, chugging a beer, like, in the stands and everyone roots them on? You think he should have picked it up and just put the wing in his mouth, like, argh.
That would have maybe got the Kings some spark because they were struggling last night. That would have been awesome.
Instead of light the beam, eat the wing.
I think location depends upon location. If you're having a steak at a hair salon, you're not doing it. But if it's not. Nice.
What about the seasoning?
Yeah. That's true. If it's a dry rub, then you have problems.
How late do you go? Is it 5-second rule, 10-second rule? What's the
long? 10 seconds? What kind of rebel are you?
Five. That's it.
10 is pushing it.
You're asking for dysentery with 10.
Ten seconds. What about my own house?
Well, when did you forget it was there? 10 seconds is a long time.
I live with a very... I live with a new eater. My kid's your four husband? And a half. Yeah, my husband. Still getting the hang of this thing.
For kids, it's like 40 seconds.
My kid will find something from like yesterday. I'm like, oh no, don't do that.
Being kids, how about having a dog?
Yeah.
They'll eat anything.
A little different calculus.
No 10-second rule.
Yeah, 3-month rule.
I mean, they're licking their own butt. Like, this is just not the same situation. And other things that I thought might get us in trouble.
Where were we? Oh, Kentucky is reportedly close to bringing Mark Pope back to Lexington to replace John Calipari. Pope was a member of the Wildcats' 96 national team. National title team. He has been BYU's head coach for the last 5 seasons. And the Orioles scored 6 in the 10th for a 9-4 win and a 3-game sweep at Fenway last night. Guys, back to you.
By the way, Tiger's on TV right now. He looks like he is about to die. Not just not get to this round. He looks like he needs to go to the ER. I've never seen a more tired human being in my life.
I was wrong. What's the matter? He's just walking the course. He's dusted right now.
Is there a short bet I could do on Tiger? He looked great yesterday. He was all smiles. I've never seen... That is like he just studied for finals for 3 years.
he's been in the library all night. No, he's been having, he's apparently they work on his body for like hours after. Then he has to wait. He, according to his ESPN article, he woke up at 3 o'clock this morning or thereabouts just to get ready to tee off now.
That sounds like Russell Wilson rehabbing his finger in the middle of the night, though. That sounds a little excessive.
That's a man that needs to have some time at Amen Corner. For sure.
I don't know. I just think Maggie should be queen for forever for having to deal with Perloff for all these.
These golf things like, have been around for.
Tiger's fine. You turn the team to see him one time. Oh, never mind. He's dead.
Oh, by the way.
Looks a little tired.
Just check in beforehand.
Oh, like you in 2017, Andrew Bogus and Maggie Gray, you were sitting there saying Tiger's going to win another tournament. Dude, the guy was minus one yesterday.
His left leg almost was amputated.
He's six off the lead.
Still has a shot.
It's one day. It's 4 days. It's a long way to Sunday.
You don't think that's incredible?
You just put him in his deathbed.
No, he
you
looks
saw
bad.
Him for the first time in 30 seconds, and you're running away
can
from
I
him.
Short Tiger. well, coming up. Yeah, sorry.
Things could have changed. I mean, something could have happened, like in the parking lot or something.
Nope.
I mean,
same Tiger.
He gets the Dunkin' Donuts delivery. Now he's ready to roll.
Right.
Just like us. All right. Well, coming up, EJ is king for a day. I've already gotten my punishment. Ugh, gotta watch a random Marvel movie this weekend.
Awesome.
I'm gonna have no idea what's going on. I hate those comic book movies. Up next, Perloff gets his punishment, and it's gonna happen right now in our studio. If you want to watch the show, come on in. YouTube.com/CBS Sports Radio for now. Twitch.tv/CBS Sports Radio for now. And you can listen to us on all these incredible stations. Perloff gets a punishment next. Welcome back. Is this the kind of show that plays Taylor Swift back from break? You bet it is.
Not on my watch.
Okay, so
actually,
EJ,
it just happened.
definitely on your watch.
That was not a production meeting. That's actually, we're on air, aren't we?
We are. All right, welcome back. EJ is king for a day.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
And he's doling out punishments. Perloff is up next. Take it away, EJ.
All right, so Perloff yesterday or a couple days ago was like, I'm not reading Jalen Brunson's MVP case. Well, good news, Perloff. You don't have to do that.
Phew.
But you will have to show some respect for the New York Knicks. And since you've been so like mean with making me have to sing and always talking about how bad my singing is.
It's well, awful.
The turntables have turned. And now we're going to have you sing the New York Knicks theme song, Go New York, Go New York, Go.
But why are you making the audience suffer? They didn't lose the bet.
Oh, no, they're probably thrilled to talk about how the Knicks are one game away from the 2 seed and how well they're playing. Jalen Brunson, another masterclass last night. So let's get into the spirit, Perloff. Let's go.
Oh, this hurts, but go ahead.
We are the New York Knicks.
We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. Go New York, go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Say go New York, go New York, go.
Go New York, go New York,
go. Get in there,
Maggie.
Go. We're back on track. On the floor scoring more is 94, and the Knicks are hardcore. And I tell you like this, we ain't never looked sharper with Hubert, Bonner, Greg, and Harper. It's the Knicks, and we're back on pace. Everyone's gearing up for the championship race. And the fans are going crazy, and they're doing it for a reason. Because 94 is a Knickerbocker season.
Or 2024.
Three-pointers, and we're running fast breaks, and if your defense makes a mistake, then bam, Ewing dunks in your face. This is a team you don't want to miss. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. Go New York, go New York, go.
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 Go.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Sit on your head is a swish. Threes by Starks and dunks by Smith. And no rebounds if that's the case. We put Oakley and Mace in your face. We draw charges and we set picks. We're New York and we have the New York Knicks. Say go New York, go New York, go.
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 Oh, throw in the towel. It's over. No boss. We can't do it.
Can't hear that song again.
No.
Everything is ruined.
Get used to hearing that song in the playoffs, by the way.
Not on this show.
For a round and a half.
Okay.
Wow.
If no rebounds, if that's the case, Oakley and Mesa are in your face.
We take charges. We set picks. We're the Knicks. Yay.
Oh, Charles Smith reference. I'll never regret.
Who wrote this song? Someone sat at a Casio and said,
Casio.
So busted on your head is a swish, threes by Starks and dunks by Smith.
Hey, put some respect on Jesse Itzler's name. He's the one who wrote this song and performed this song.
Wow. Dunks
he
by
should
Smith,
have been in the one-hit wonder bracket.
Is there something about Smith layups attempts getting blocked by Scottie Pippen?
Yeah.
That one didn't age. He might want to cut him out of the history books.
Go New York, go New York, go.
Wow.
Go New York, go New York, go.
And it's over. And scene. That was a punishment. But I'm not sure who
then
got it
bam,
worst.
Ewing dunks in your face.
Perloff got punished. We got punished. You got punished. Coming up, we dive into Kentucky.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.